Second half of the Mike McFeely Show kicks off. Yes, 3:30 is the halfway point of this program since we're on for 3 hours. That's what my Alexandria math told me. And it is time, finally, this week on this program, I'm pleased to say, to welcome in Clay Jenkinson, our great friend from Bismarck, director of the Dakota Institute, and a regular guest on the Mike McFeely Show on Monday afternoons. But since Clay was busy with probably like work or something, he couldn't join us until today, Wednesday at 3:35. Hello, Clay Jenkinson. Are you safe and sound in Bismarck, North Dakota, or are you still traveling back from points far beyond the borders of North Dakota?
I'm in wildest Montana, Mike, but I wish you Happy New Year, and as soon as we stop talking, I will resume my journey back to Bismarck.
Oh, I'm stopping you from traveling. I apologize for that.
No, this is a welcome break, and I wouldn't miss this for the world, but I want to tell you, Montana is very beautiful.
Let me, if you don't mind, I don't know what you were doing in Montana. Not that it's any of my business whatsoever, but if it is public information or if it was a work-related trip, tell us what you were doing there.
I'm always happy to tell you anything. I was leading a retreat of a dozen, actually 15 people, at a lodge called Locksaw Lodge, just west of Missoula. And the whole purpose was to talk for 5 days about Henry David Thoreau's Walden, or Life in the Woods, and a couple of other humanities texts.
And you did that for 5 days with 15 other people?
If you can imagine it, and I know this will astonish you and perhaps all of our listeners, there are people from around the United States who paid actual money to spend 5 days listening to me talk about Henry David Thoreau.
And what did you tell them briefly about Henry David Thoreau? That he was a hopeless romantic, or that what he had something to say, what he had to say actually means something in the 21st century?
Oh, absolutely, it means something. I'll tell you very briefly. He believes that each one of us should elevate our lives until we are more complete. That we should renegotiate our relationship with nature. That we can become a higher order of being. If we will cease to strive for stuff and money and power and turn instead to our souls and to what we can learn when we go to into nature.
Boy, America is screwed, aren't we?
We have
no chance if that's Henry David Thoreau's thesis for a good existence. We got no chance, Clay.
So I woke up this morning in Montana. I didn't drive all the way back in one day, and I wrote my weekly newspaper column, which will appear on Sunday, and I tried to ask myself this question, Mike, and it's a really important one. Does North Dakota operate according to any higher law now? We know the law of contract. We know the law of willing buyer and willing seller. We know that there are 25 billion recoverable barrels of oil in western North Dakota, and that they're hitting almost 100% of the time, and that there will be between 40 and 60,000 wells on the western landscapes of the state. And is it true now that everything is monetizable, that everything can be converted into money, that there is nothing left in our beloved state that we will not convert into cash if we can?
Well, it's funny you bring that up, because I was talking earlier in the program about something sort of along those lines, and we'll tie it all together in a big, clean, happy package here. But I opened the show today, Clay, by talking about Robert Harms. And the fact that Robert Harms, the chairman of the North Dakota Republican Party, had the wherewithal and apparently the courage to come out publicly and tell Reuters News Service that this train derailment in Castleton and the subsequent fire and explosions should really have us rethinking what we're doing in the western part of the state. And in fact, it should get us maybe down the road of maybe we need to slow this thing down. Maybe we need to rethink our whole strategy here, because we're being overwhelmed with a lot of big questions, big issues when it comes to the oil boom. And Bob Harms was eviscerated by other Republicans who publicly called into question his character and his integrity for possibly bringing up the idea that perhaps we should just maybe tap the brakes a little bit on this oil boom. So does that answer your question?
I know Robert Harms. We have known each other for a long time, and nobody can say that he is not a man of integrity. One can disagree with his point of view, which I frequently do, but he is a person who speaks his mind, and he has a long, distinguished record of being pro-Republican, pro-business, skeptical of taxes, skeptical of public welfare programs. And so for someone like Robert Harms to say that this might lead us to step back a little is a bit like Nixon going to China in the 1970s. You know, he has credibility that you and I don't on a question of this sort, and I'm sorry that he hasn't been embraced more fully. But I think I might slightly disagree with him. I don't think that the spill represents some sort of blow to the oil development. These things will happen. We now need to make sure that they never happen again. In other words, this was a big one, but it wasn't catastrophic. It didn't happen in downtown Fargo. And we now need to step back and say, if we're doing this, we had better guarantee that the pipelines are secure, that the railroads, the lines are right, that there's no breakage, that there's no chance of catastrophic accidents to follow this relatively modest one.
But doesn't that all go toward the same idea, though, Clay, in that instead of just going and making sure that everybody's making a gajillion dollars, which good for them. I'm happy for the landowners. I'm happy for the oil companies. I'm happy for the state of North Dakota. But doesn't it go to the point that we need to get a handle on some of these things in a better fashion than just always saying full speed ahead? I think that's what he was getting at was, okay, here's an opportunity to have a real discussion about some of the issues that come with the oil boom instead of always just saying the oil companies need to get what they want. We need to do this fast. We need to make sure that everybody's a millionaire because you never know this thing might go away when we know it's not going away. We know the oil's there. We know it's not going to disappear.
I agree with you, of course, 100%, that there's no reason for us ever to just paper this stuff over. And how many times are we going to hear growing pains? Oh, yet another growing pain, a pipeline spill in northwestern North Dakota. Yet another growing pain, saline water in our ditches. Another growing pain, a major train catastrophe at Castleton. They're not growing pains. They're the cost of this thing. And we should minimize those dark sides of the oil boom, but we should not pretend that you can do this without those kinds of costs.
237-5948-800-880-5346, kfgo.studio at kfgo.com is our email. You can give us a call, you can send us an email, or you can text us in this program if you have a question or comment for Clay Jenkinson. You can text 35270. Please include the word Mike so that I know it is directed at me. The point that I brought up earlier in the show, Clay, was the fact that Republicans and establishment Republicans like Rich Wardner and others are reacting so viscerally to Bob Harms's innocent comment shows to me that there's just this sway that the oil companies have over state government right now that nobody dares speak up about anything. And that's a dangerous place to be. If you feel the need as a politician in North Dakota to attack one of your own and cannibalize one of your own, a loyal Republican soldier whose credentials and chops could never be questioned, that he is a conservative, hardcore, solid, good Republican, if you have to attack him to prove your chops to the oil companies, that's a bad place for state government to be, Clay.
Oh, I agree 100%. I think we should praise Robert Harms for his courage. You know, he's always been an independent thinker. He's not afraid to say what he thinks, no matter who doesn't like it. And I think that he's shown great moral and political courage in this case, and it's in our interest to take what he says seriously. But whenever someone breaks ranks in a boom like this, this is going to cause this kind of fallout, as you know, Mike. And so he's got a thick skin. He'll be able to stand this, and I don't think that he'll stop talking just because some people have frowned at the things that he has said. And I think that he's right, that we need to think this thing through more clearly, because we've been living in this illusion that this is just a bigger oil boom like the oil booms of the 50s and 70s. That's not true. And we've been thinking that this thing will overcome the growing pains and that this will be some sort of a fully positive miracle for North Dakota. And that's certainly not true.
Was the Castleton derailment, spill, and fire and explosions, did the state react to it in the right way, Clay? From what you know and what you have heard, was the state on the ball on this thing?
I think so. You know, what do you do? You first of all, you secure the human lives. You make sure there are no deaths or injuries. You ask people to leave their houses. You do whatever it takes to protect the community, the human values. And then you clean up the mess as quickly as you can, and then you investigate. And you're not afraid to point fingers if fingers need to be pointed. In this case, I think it's just one of those things, an accident. But sometimes things are caused by human negligence. You investigate. You reform. I think the state has done admirably, but I want my state officials to be talking like Robert Harms and saying, folks, brace yourself. This is going to be a long, interesting ride.
Clay, thank you. I'm going to let you go because I know you have a long drive ahead of you yet back home, and I want you to arrive in Bismarck safely. So we'll let you go, get back on the road, and keep two hands on the wheel, okay?
Happy New Year. And, Mike, I want you to read Walden.
Oh, I will do that. I may have already done that, as a matter of fact, back in my younger days. I just don't recall it because they were my younger days.
More reason to reread it. I'll see you next week.
Absolutely. Thanks, Clay. Clay Jenkinson, the director of the Dakota Institute in Bismarck, North Dakota.